You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Joining us now is our pastor, Stanley Chilembo, to help us with our Ask a Pastor season. Got a question? Make sure you share those questions with us, especially those questions that make you squirm or scratch your head. Any question that is befuddling and confusing to you, bring it to us. We have pastors in this church who study their Bibles and who are not afraid of questions. Bring those questions. I will write them down. My producer will find you the pastor, just as we do have Pastor Stanley Chilembo to help us answer these questions. Tough questions, but our pastors are tougher because they study their Bibles. Pastor Stanley Chilembo, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is, why do people often feel like their prayers go unanswered?
Why do people feel their questions go unanswered? Their prayers. Why do they feel their prayers go unanswered?
This is
a very important question to ask. And this, I will always say that, you know, when you ask such questions, some people may take it as, you know, a joke. They may even laugh at one who is asking this question, but these are real life questions, questions that we all have, especially as believers. So this is an appropriate question, and we don't need to run away from it. Why do people feel that their prayers go unanswered?
That's right.
I'm going to be quick to say that the issue is that feelings may always deceive us. So that is the first answer I'm going to give. Feelings may always deceive us. Because God answers all the prayers that we give to Him.
Right.
All the prayers that we give to God, they are answered. And the way God answers, He answers in different ways.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first thing I'm going to say is that all the answers that God gives when we pray, the answer that God gives is yes. Please hear me well on this one.
I'm listening.
All the prayers that we give to God, His only answer is yes. But this yes comes in three different ways.
Okay.
Number one is where you ask and God says yes, and it is done there and then. I'll give you an example in the Bible. Peter is drowning in water as he was called to walk on water when Jesus walked on water. So as he was drowning, he called on Jesus, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. That one was an immediate yes answer. Then the second one, I'll still go back to the Bible. You see that we have people like Hannah in the Bible who prayed for a child, but it took a bit of some time. Did God say no? No. God answered yes, but Hannah had to wait for the right time. So God's time is the best. So even when Hannah prayed for a child, she did not receive the child there and then. But she had to keep on waiting until at the right time God gave the answer. And this is one area that many of us, we may miss it. You know, God, you have prayed to God. It takes a bit of some time. It's possible that we may forget what we have prayed for, and we may even feel that God has not answered our prayer. He has answered, but it may take a bit of some time. During this waiting time, what God wants us to do is to learn the ways of patience, to learn perseverance and endurance.
Right.
So God may delay to answer us, to give us a yes answer, so that we may learn the ways of patience and endurance.
Right.
And mostly, God may want us to work on certain things in our lives.
Mm.
You have asked for a child. Maybe mentally you are not yet matured to become a parent. You are a man, you are not yet to become a parent.
Right.
And God may delay. You are a lady, you have asked that God gives you a child. Maybe the mind is not fully matured to take care of that child. God may delay. So the answer is yes, but a delayed one. Now, there is this third one. This third one is the most interesting one. Usually people say God may say no, but I want to say that God does not say no. He says yes, but he looks at our things that we need. So we have prayed and God answers yes, but he has changed things that he is going to give us. Let's say I'll give an example of us as parents. You have a child and it's chilling out there. The weather is not conducive. And then the child says, Daddy, I want biscuit, or I need, not biscuit, I want ice cream. And it's chilling there. You know that the weather is not favorable. If the child takes ice cream, it will harm, it will disturb their health. What are you going to do as a parent? The child has requested for ice cream. Are you going to give ice cream? You will not. What are you going to do? You will give things that you know that the child will benefit from. So, as a good parent, a child has asked for ice cream. You will not give ice cream, but you may buy a banana or an apple. Why? Because that is the most appropriate thing at that time for the child to eat. So, God's answers are yes. They come with an immediate yes.
So, how is that a yes, Pastor, if you have asked for ice cream and you don't get ice cream? How is that a yes?
So, how is it a yes? It's a yes, you have asked. God sees that you are in need. But you may be asking for something which is not appropriate. It is in the book of James, where it says, our prayers may seem as if they are not answered because we ask amiss. You know, where you are asking in a different way.
It's, I understand all of that. I understand that, Pastor. What I'm asking is, how do you call God refusing to give you ice cream a yes? How is that a yes? Kindly explain how, when you ask for something and God does not give it to you, how is that a yes? Surely the reasonable answer is no. Parents say no to their children when their children ask amiss. So if parents say no, I will not give you ice cream, how do we say, yes, God is saying yes, and yet he is refusing to give us the ice cream? Kindly explain that, Pastor. Okay. I think our line is not very participating today for some reason. It's a good thing I'm in the studio. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think I just wrote some
network. I understand. So my question, Pastor, is if God refuses to give you the ice cream you have been asking for, he ends up giving you banana or orange, how is that a yes? Because my prayer was not for banana. My prayer was for ice cream. So if God decides to give me banana, he has said yes to giving me banana, but not to my prayer. My prayer was about ice cream. How is that a yes if he gives me banana?
It's a yes because God has provided the right thing that we need in our lives.
I didn't ask for the right thing. I asked for ice cream.
So now the thing is that we may not fully understand. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8,
right.
Romans chapter 8, reading on this verse 26, it talks about the Holy Spirit who understands our petitions, or he who intercedes on our behalf, who understands more than the way we do.
Right.
So there are things that we may ask which are not right. James, I was about to read from the book of James.
Right.
James chapter 4, verse 3. It says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong.
Yes.
So there are some things that we may ask based on wrong motives.
All of these verses you're quoting, Pastor, they don't say God has said yes. Those verses are explaining why God says no.
Yeah. So now it may appear as if God has said no, but you discover that God has blessed you or has given you something that is more beneficial than that thing that we are asking. So the most important thing on the third one is to get to know the will of God, to get to know what really matters in our lives. And let us look at the things that we are asking. Do they really build us? Do they really contribute to our spiritual, to our spirituality, to our life now and in future? You look at all these things.
Let me give you examples.
Let
me give you an example.
Yes, yes.
The story is told of David and Bathsheba. They commit adultery and they conceive a child. David prays for this child because it appears this child is about to die at birth. He prays and fasts and prays and fasts and prays and fasts. And his prayers never answered. The child dies. Did God say yes, say yes to David there? When David prays up until he is told the child is dead, did God say yes? Is there a yes that God that gave to David there?
So the will of God was done.
I'm not asking about the will of God, my pastor. I'm asking about a yes. This yes narrative you're sharing with us. Help us understand how it applies in David's case. Did God say yes to what David was petitioning God for?
Of course, when the child died.
Yes.
And you take it that God answered no to his prayer, and the no, of course, was the healing, because the mind of David was concentrated on healing. So as he waited for healing and healing did not happen, God performed his will. And there are other elements that God blessed. You know, there are things that we may end up questioning God to say, but why didn't he give me here? The ultimate I'm going to give is that God's answers come in different ways. We may have clear evidence where we see that, okay, here things didn't happen. But at the end of the day, David walked out as a happy man later on, realizing that God...
Not quite, Pastor. When you read the narrative of David's account, David continued to have his daughter.
Hello?
When you read the story of David, Mfundisi, after the child died, David and Bathsheba got married later on. Right, they married and the child was born and blah blah blah. But later on, David's daughter was raped, and the rape was committed by David's son. And then that very son of David was killed, murdered by another one of David's sons. So in all of David's prayers, they were unanswered. While David would pray for his family was not spared from the rod, because God's word, it came out through the prophet that the sword will never cease in your house. Same applies with the one who did not even commit adultery, poor Job. Job didn't steal anyone's wife. Job didn't kill any Uriah. But still, after Job had prayed repeatedly, every morning the Bible says Job would pray for his children. But God killed those children. How did God kill children? By giving permission to the devil to kill the children. All of them. All of the children that Job was praying for. That prayer that poor Job was saying, in case my children have sinned, this is an offering. And God recognizes Job as a man who was righteous, as a man who had not sinned, you know, was a good man. But God opens the door for the devil to kill Job's children. The same children he was praying for. Did God say yes to that prayer, Mfundisi?
Yeah, so when you look at the broader picture there, is the greater lesson that we are learning from the story of Job is that even righteous people have to undergo all these challenges of life, because we are in the world where we are passing through the great controversy.
Right.
And the bigger, broader picture there is to give a picture of the great controversy that we are engaged in living in this world. So it didn't just end there. If you read the way how the story of Job...
It ends there. It ends there. There's no resurrection of those children. When a parent loses a child and then he goes on to have more children, that doesn't change the fact that he still has a scar of that child he lost. Now, Job lost all of his children. So he lives, even though the Bible says he was blessed by God with the very same woman that was mocking him. Very same woman. Hey, that bothers me. For this one day, you must come and preach to me. Help me understand. How does God bother Job and this woman that has no relationship with God, who says, curse your God and die. This woman, God still blesses her, even though she was faithless and Job was faithful, but God still blesses her with children with Job. I don't know, Fundis. But the Bible says they went on to have children again, more children, and God blessed them, blah, 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 with children who look better than everyone in the land. Oh, that is wonderful. But the story ends there as far as those children who are dead. Those graves are still there, keeping Job's children. Job's are still today full. Their stomachs are full of Job's children because God opened the door. Job said, God, protect my children. And God said, no.
Yeah, so... The point, the major point that I've mentioned is that the story of Job is a clear indication of the great controversy that we are involved in.
Right.
And even the upright ones, the Mfundises, those people that are faithful to God, are not prone to trials and temptations that we are passing through. Those things will happen.
Right.
But when those things happen, our core and duty is to keep our focus in God.
Right.
Yes, we need to keep our focus in God. We may suffer pain, we may lose like Job lost.
Right.
But I'll still say that is not the end of the day.
Okay.
We should not give up on God, because ultimately God has a better future for us. We will have all those scars of the losses that we have incurred, but God will ultimately put us in a right place.
Right.
So ultimately, to say the last point that I was saying, when you read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it tells us, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen,
right,
even unto the glory of God by us. So when we ask God, God knows our things, you know, the things that we need, God knows them very well. But now, in an event that...
Pastor, that verse is not talking about our prayers. It's talking about his promises, God's promises, not our promises.
God's promises.
Prayers to God, yeah? So the perpetual yes and amen is with what he has already pronounced on, his promises already. But this person who's asking this question is asking about their prayers, not God's promises. Yeah.
So if, in case you feel that your prayers are not answered...
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you feel that your prayers are not answered, the question that I am going to ask now, as we get into conclusions, some of the questions that I may ask is, did you truly ask God? So sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask.
Okay.
James 4, verse 2 says you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 6 tells us, Matthew chapter 7 tells us, ask, it shall be given.
Right.
No, it shall be opened. Seek, you will find. So he gives us those promises. So if you don't ask, you may not receive because
Absolutely.
You have not asked.
Absolutely.
Number two, if we feel that we don't, our prayers are not answered.
Mm.
The question that I'm going to ask is, what are the motives
right.
behind your asking?
Right.
James chapter 4, it tells us we don't receive because our motives may be wrong.
All right.
Then the third one is that we ask with unconfessed sins.
Hey.
In the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us that, you know, for all have come short and
have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Sinned. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes. So because of the presence of sin, this sin may hinder the answers that God is giving us. It's Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2,
right.
which says, God's hand is not short that it cannot save, but your sins have hidden his face that he cannot hear.
Right.
So we may not see answers because of unconfessed sins.
Mm.
So let us make things right, then we'll see the answers. The fourth one, when you ask outside the will of God, you ask outside the will of God. This is where now you see that prayers are not answered.
Mm.
Things which are not in line with God's will.
Mm.
You will not receive things that are not in line with God's will.
Right.
So let's ask within the will of God.
Right.
And number five, when we ask, don't doubt. Because if you doubt, it's like you are not sure if God will give you what you are asking for.
Right.
So have faith in God. Look at all these people who are coming to Jesus. Bartimaeus, he comes and asks, I need to have mercy on me. Later on, Christ tells him, your faith has healed you.
All right.
Just on Bartimaeus, maybe I make the last point now. Just on Bartimaeus, the next point that we learn is that when we ask, let us be specific.
Okay.
Some of the reasons we feel our prayers are not answered is because we are not specific.
Okay.
He cried to Christ, have mercy on me.
Okay.
And Christ asked him, what do you want?
Yeah.
He said that I may receive sight.
Got it.
And
got
he received
it.
Sight.
Got it.
So well, let's right be there. Specific.
Thank you very much for this. All those points. You know, had you given me all those points right from the beginning, we would have long finished this. We have long finished this conversation. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow. Ngosimfundisi.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.